Hello, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 182 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. I am joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, hey.
And this week we welcome back Kenny.
It's good to be back.
Good to have you back. You've been hard at work on academic studies and such, you know, doing much more intense work than us, basically, these past few weeks.
Or at least I've been trying to, and I mean, you know, that's what really matters, right?
It's, you know, a pass is a pass, right? I mean, they're all about that piece of paper to get the other pieces of paper, although these days it's mostly direct deposit. But nevertheless, good to have you back on the show, the three-man booth again. Got some fun topics to talk about this week. The NBA season tipped off yesterday from when we're recording this, so it's good to have real basketball back, but we also have some virtual basketball ongoing as always. And just wanted to tip things off with a few discussions about NBA 2K17. That is, of course, the game we're playing, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. But something that's been brought to our attention, just to tip things off this week, guys, in the forum, that apparently NBA 2K17 has advertising in it. And I haven't actually seen it myself, but I know that you've seen a couple of things pop up, Ben.
Yeah, I was playing my career, and this is just on the day when, or the day before they announced the start of the Mountain Dew 3X competition thing that they're doing for their online stuff. Yeah, I got an ad essentially at three-quarter time of the My Career game that I was playing, and it was kind of threw me off. I was like, what the hell now? And it's like in-game advertising, which is kind of weird.
It's controversial, to say the least. It was FJC Commish in the forum brought it to my attention. I haven't actually seen it happen in my career yet for me. I'm guessing it's going to happen at some point. Or maybe I just skipped too quickly with my with the X button. But there is apparently advertising popping up around about three-quarter time, especially in my league, apparently. And he mentioned that there was an ad for a card game, and other people have mentioned they've been getting advertising too. Certainly people not happy about it in the forum. Kenny, you've been playing my league more than us, but you haven't been playing for the last couple of weeks, so you haven't actually seen the advertising yet either, I believe.
I haven't yet, not in that form anyway. I did get a pop-up about, I think it was buy 35,000 VC, get 25% more or something like that, and
yeah,
I kind of made light of that because it's like, oh yeah, you know, it's they basically put it as like that I won something, but in order to claim my prize, I had to spend my money. So, yeah.
Purchase really necessary. Strange. So,
yeah.
Well, so this is the issue with gaming these days. I mean, pre-order bonuses, DLC, DLC that's on the disc. And, you know, there's lots of things, lots of practices in gaming that that are very controversial with these days. And advertising in games, depending on the genre, you don't see a lot of it, but that has been the concern, I guess, since the last generation, because it did pop up a couple of times, I remember, in, I think NBA Live has done it, or at least they had some dynamic advertising on the Dawners. I don't think they really had anything very intrusive in a couple of the games on Xbox 360 and PS3. But, I mean, it is certainly a little bit on the nose. I mean, obviously games are expensive to produce, and looking to maximize their profits, and advertising does appear during NBA broadcasts, so you could say that it's been worked in. But yeah, it is kind of controversial, Ben, and to be pushing, you know, it's one thing to push advertising for a tournament or even to buy VC, you know, that's something that's within the game. But if they're actually pushing through other advertising for third party products and services and whatnot, yeah, I don't know about that. That's feels very iffy, to say the least.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, how much more profit do they want to try and make? Obviously, they'd be making a killing from the whole VC purchase and that. So, I don't know. It's sort of reeks of greed. And, yeah, I think too commercial, in, ironically. I'm not a fan of the process either. I hope, like, from when I just saw it, it was just to sort of bring awareness to their tournament thing that they're doing and nothing else. Like, I hope that it's not just like for, like, I can understand for a couple of days to potentially a week just to promote it, but if it's, you know, an ongoing thing that we're going to see out throughout the whole year, yeah, no, that sucks. And that It's becoming more commercial that we're paying for, in a sense. So,
well, a AAA game, you've already paid this premium for the game. It's one thing to get this in a free-to-play game with microtransactions and so forth. And of course, there are microtransactions in 2K via the VC method, VC system, but it's not quite the same as a free-to-play mobile game. But Kenny, no, you've done you're doing sort of business and advertising and marketing and everything. You know, what's your take? Is it fair or foul?
I mean, I kind of agree that I don't mind it if it's like to promote, say, 2K events and stuff like that. But if they start like doing third-party advertisements, then that's when I think, you know, that's when I'd be crying foul. But I can't really judge the situation at the moment because I haven't seen any examples of it. So yeah. I reserve judgment at the moment. So
that's fair because, again, and I haven't seen them either, either the one that you saw, Ben, or the ones that they've been talking about in the forum. So maybe it's a location thing, maybe it's regional, and we've been kind of lucky with that. The other thing I was thinking is that a lot of times in my career when I might not have seen it is that I get subbed out by the end of the third quarter a lot, so then it skips straight to the subbing in at the beginning of the fourth. So I'm guessing that's why I'm not seeing the advertising yet. But
yeah, I never thought of that, but I do as well. So that might be why I haven't seen it either.
It would make sense, just the way that seems to be the rotation for
what. Although sometimes I get subbed out late in the third and don't start until the fourth. I don't know. And how you said sort of regional thing. Well, me and Kenny are just a few kilometers away from each other, so.
Well, opposite sides of Brisbane. Wow. That's a major regional
thing. The people we've been talking about are on the other side of the world, so that's what I mean by regional.
Okay. For sure. I'm just being facetious.
Just to clarify, I meant regional by us compared to them, because obviously we haven't seen some of the things that others have seen. If you can see the things I've seen, man.
You'd wonder why I drink so much. I mean,
why I spend all my VC at the pub. So I do hope that it doesn't get more intrusive. We'll probably touch on this in a little bit again with another topic we have this week. But it's if they continue to push that kind of advertising and show that kind of, I guess, bad faith. And we've talked about the problems with VC and everything. I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it shows why we need that competition in basketball gaming, the same way that a lot of the football gamers, the American football gamers, that is, the NFL gamers, you know, don't like to see that monopoly that EA has with Madden. I mean, when you've got the only game in town, and of course Live is there, but it is at the moment it's not out and not on the same level as 2K, when you don't have that competition, you can kind of do whatever you want when you've got that majority of fans, because where are they going to go? So you sort of hate to see them take advantage of that with anything kind of shady, but that is a good point, Kenny, that, you know, perhaps reserve judgment, at least for us personally, until we've seen it ourselves. But I was a bit disturbed to hear it, to say the least.
Yeah, I can understand that. It is something that I suppose we're not really that used to as far as playing NBA video games, but I'm still reserving my judgment, so.
And realistically, I mean, we are kind of exposed to a lot of advertising, obviously, in terms with, you know, the brand name sponsors and all that stuff in the actual game, and especially relating to the NBA and that. So, but yeah, this is kind of more of an intrusive format, in a sense. So,
I guess you can pass it off because you are presenting the game like a TV broadcast. You can kind of squeeze an ad in there, I guess, and pass it off like, oh, well, it's just like this, and if you can, skip it. But I did hear about some intrusive pop-ups that you couldn't clear until the straight away, for example.
Well, if it's anything like that, was it
update required?
Yeah, update required. Oh my god, that's intrusive, and that. So, you know, if it's not a skippable format either, then that makes it worse as well.
But I guess we'll circle back to it if we see it ourselves. There is a thread in the forum. If you are having those issues, by all means, share your experiences. I'd be interested to hear what other people are actually experiencing with that, and whether they are getting mostly advertising about features in the game. FJC Commish just mentioned a card game. I'm guessing I'm guessing it's a third-party card game. I mean, if they're promoting My Team, well, that is a feature in the game at least. But in any case, that is the situation that we've heard of. Again, we'll circle back to that if we hear more and can provide more of a personal insight into that.
So just one more thing. Is that card game, would that be referring to the mobile app?
Or that's a good point. Or the mobile app, which I guess, I mean, it's still the related experience. But if at the same time, you pay that premium, so I guess you don't want to have any advertising at all. But that, if it is the My Team mobile, that would at least be a 2K Sports, a Visual Concepts production. So it wouldn't be like a, I don't know, whatever card game
Witcher
is.
Witcher Gwent, or whatever it is.
Yeah. I was going to say like Magic the Gathering or something. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. That's how that's how behind I, you know, I'm not into that scene. So, you know, showing my age, maybe. But nevertheless, that is a situation that perhaps we'll may encounter, but hopefully not too much in future games. Another issue that is perhaps plaguing games these days is the situation with Always On. I've written an article about this before. Much has been said about the whole issue with Always On as it pertains to my career. Obviously, lots of games have had this problem. EA with the latest SimCity a couple of years ago, the Always On with that was a disaster.
Actually, the recent Need for Speed was also
Always On?
Yeah.
And it obviously has its problems. And the main one is if there are internet issues or, you know, either with the individual user or their ISP is having issues or there's network issues, the whole game, or at least significant parts of the game, are not playable. And of course, this was also the controversy when Xbox One was going to be Always Online originally, and one of the things that really turned against Xbox before even the One or PS4 even out was the Always On controversy. Now, as I mentioned before, I do like to keep fit. I can't run as much as I used to. Sustained a few injuries here and there, so these days for my cardio guys, I usually like to get on the exercise bike. Now, with the exercise bike, I don't like it as much, and I am going somewhere with this, people. With the exercise bike, what I don't like about that compared to, you know, getting out there and having a run around the neighborhood is that you don't really have the difference in the terrain and the sights and the whole experience of moving. You know, you are sitting on a bike and not going anywhere. So I like to either watch something or even preferably play games, and quite often I'll play a My Career game so that I have 40 odd minutes to an hour on the exercise bike. So I got all ready to play that yesterday around about 7-8 in the evening, I guess, and this isn't on 2K's problem, this is PSN. The PSN happened to be down around about that time, and I think it was down the whole east coast of Australia, because I saw reports, I looked it up online, and there was people reporting it all up and down the east coast, and so it was down. And that means that I can't play My Career, and it brought back, you know, the whole Always On controversy. That if you want to play this mode, my Career save is online because I started it online. I can't then play it offline, or it converts to an offline save, or it's not available. You know, it's an inconvenience. You know, not just when the server's shut down in 27 months' time, which is what they extended the life cycle to, but if there's an internet problem or a server problem at 2K, or maintenance or an outage, we've seen both happen. You know, it renders a single player mode like My Career unplayable. Or if you try to play it, it converts to an offline save and it doesn't go back off online again. So I understand why they have the online connectivity because of all the online modes that My Player is used throughout My Career, My Park, and 2K Pro Am, but it really, yeah, just brought back this whole idea, you know, this grumpy old man of, back in my day, we just put in the cartridge in the Super Nintendo and played, and, but it's,
I was going to say, does it really grind your gears?
Really grinds my gears, yeah, but it's just one of those things that, it's the real problem with Always On, that this mode, that it is a single-player experience, ultimately, but does have online elements, admittedly. You know, if there are any network problems, either at my end or my ISP's end or PlayStation's end or 2K's end, anything that happens there, I can't play this mode. And it's, I mean, obviously, first world problems, you know, before anyone says hashtag first world problems, you know, I ended up watching something else, streaming video online. So, yeah, you know, not a problem. But it is this lack of convenience with Always On and this idea. I mean, look at what happened with 2K14, Ben. you know, when they shut down their servers and they did that terrible PR response about, you know, all good things must come to an end and it's time to retire the saves and everything, and it really backfired on them.
Oh, yeah. And it did not sit well with the community, so...
The wording didn't help. It certainly sounded very bad the way that they put it. And the fact that they'd made these guarantees or promises when asked about it, that these saves were going to transfer over and then they didn't, that it was definitely a mess. But, yeah, it's just one of those things that, I guess, grumpy old man stuff that does bother me about gaming these days with the always online, that you can have this big chunk of the mode that's no longer available. And that's always going to happen when the servers shut down eventually, because you can't... Well, it's, they do say in the user agreement and everything that online services are only guaranteed for... Well, I think only guaranteed for 12 months, although they usually have about... They had 18 months of support before, and they extended it to 27 months after the 2K14 debacle. But, you know, it's not even when the servers eventually shut down. It's the outages in the meantime, which are the problem. And, just kind of... You know, you want to sit down and unwind and play the game, and you can't because you can't play this part of the game because it's out. It really sort of drives home the point of how always online is very problematic in many respects.
Agreed. So,
just before, when you were talking about the exercise bike and the whole jogging experience, you kind of went into a different direction, because I thought you were going to say that the jogging experience was like online because you get the different terrains and the features, whereas going on the exercise bike was like the offline experience, since, you know, you're just kind of there by yourself in a, you know, in your own room. So
if I was a creative person, I would have made that connection, Kevin. clearly you've outdone me on the creative front there, unfortunately. Yeah, my metaphor could have been so much better, but no, sadly not.
I agree. Like, I think it's just like, particularly with just updates in general, like having to get past that day one patch of, what was it, 6 gig?
That
takes a while for a person on Australian internet servers to download, and it's just like, oh, I'm so hyped to play the game, but it's not done yet.
Yeah.
And that's really like, it's one of the more disappointing parts, I guess, of modern gaming in general. But once you have the game, it's awesome. But yeah,
it's
a few grumpy old man issues.
And we have discussed it, Ben and I, in recent shows, the whole 6-7 gigabyte patches, because the PC versions have been, for the last couple of 2K17 patches, PC patch 1.03 was about 160 meg. 69, 70 meg for patch 1.04. So it's not that it's that much content being pushed through. It's obviously some kind of issue with having to update that many files in the archives and the packages for the PS4 and Xbox One versions. So it's, again, I guess, a design flaw of modern gaming. I mean, if the patch only needs to be... Because the PC version is the same. It's a port of the PS4 and Xbox One version. So... It's presumably the same files, whether the exact same format, maybe entirely sure about that. But you obviously don't need to... They're not pushing through 7 gigabytes of content when they push through the 6 and 7 gigabyte patches. So, again, that is the problem. And like you say, day one, you're ready to play. And, downloading updates, it's become, you know, mimetic proportions of updates on the, you know, either the system software or an app or the games themselves. You know, I love a lot of things about modern gaming. I think the experiences are deeper than ever. Like, you go back and play some of the games from the 80s and 90s, and you think, would I really want to pay $60 to $100 for this game that's got 4 levels? And it really only seems long because it's so hard that you only get past the first level after months of playing the game. You know, like, those old-school platformers were that hard that maybe you never saw the end of the game. Not because they were long, just because they were so hard with no continues or something. If you didn't make it through on one go, you never saw the end of the game. But so a lot of great things about modern gaming, but always on. I hope they can find a way around it, I guess. It'd be great if we could just go sort of switch between that offline and online mode for my career. But again, I guess earning the VC or whatever, it's just, yeah. But it goes back to what Live's doing with the skill points, I guess, skill points and reward points. It seems like a much fairer system, but there's money to be made in those microtransactions with VC, I guess, so it's probably not going to change.
Yeah, I think VC is definitely here to stay, and unfortunately that means that everything is going to be online. I remember having quite an enjoyable offline experience in 15, but I don't know whether that was... I think that was like partly due to the fact that I was on PS3, and you know, PS3 doesn't get a whole lot of love these days when it comes to like updates and stuff for 2K. So
probably lucky if they get a patch a year, I reckon.
Well, I remember 2K13 and 14 on PC didn't receive any of the patches that the console versions did at all. The roster updates came through and everything, but not the fixes. So certainly by that point, it was starting to get phased out in favor of developing the next generation, which fortunately we are getting on PC now. And that, when some people say they wish they still got the old version set because it was more moddable, mods are great, and obviously our community has done great things, continues to do great things each and every week, but I'll take the game that's getting the updates and the new technology being developed for it over the mods. You know, I'd rather ideally have the great game that we can mod as well, but seeing what they've done and having gone back and playing some of the last generation games for Way Back Wednesday in recent times, I will trade some of that moddability certainly for the official updates and the support and things like My League and My GM and what they're doing with My Career and everything. I'll take the features and gameplay over the modding, because that's at the end of the day, I'd rather buy a game that I really like to play rather than one that I like to edit at the end of the day. And I say that as somebody who has got a long history in the modding community, in our modding community, going back to Live. Yeah, it's I don't want to buy a DVD to have it sit on the shelf and look at. You know, I want to buy a TV series or a movie that I want to watch. Just don't want to have it just to have a thing. So, but that's a whole other discussion, I guess. That's pretty much all I have to say. But always on. Any other comments before we move on, guys?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
Pretty much covered it. Yeah.
Yes, I have anyway.
Well, we'll I guess we'll have to just make do, grumpy old men that we are. So we got a submission for last week's show. Unfortunately, we'd already recorded it, Ben, when the submission came through. But it's I guess it's good that we've got it this week, since we have the three of us, and perhaps maybe the featured discussion this week before we get into our week in basketball gaming. But the question comes from MP3, our favorite listener. you're all our favorite listeners, but MP3, definitely a loyal listener. Shout out to MP3. With some of the dissatisfaction with NBA 2K17, do we think the door is wide open for NBA Live 17 or 18, I guess, to win over the fan base? And start with you, Ben, because I know that you haven't necessarily enjoyed 2K17 maybe as much as Kenny and I. Or perhaps you've been a bit more outspoken about it on Twitter. Well, we've all had a bit of a spray at certain points. We've all sort of got a history with Live, and you and I, you know, with having worked with EA in various capacities, from a community standpoint, of course, not actually employed by them. But I mean, what's your take on that? I mean, between your dissatisfaction and some of the other dissatisfaction you've seen other people express on social media and in the forum. Do you think that's sort of leaving the door ajar for the EA?
Yeah, I think there is always a case for it. I mean, it's happened to EA in terms that, you know, they got sort of stuck in the ivory tower aspect, and, you know, didn't really step back and look what really could be done and stuff like that. Then which hit them in a lot of ways. Ignored feedback that was legitimate and stuff like that. Even like despite some of the Twitter rant stuff, not just from myself, but you know, we talk closely and stuff like that. We mention things like, even on this podcast, we mention issues that we have, and you know, the fact that like a lot of things have been in the game for like 4, 5, 6, 7 years, you know, it kind of gets frustrating when, you know, it's still an annoying issue, or you know, where it has those controller throwing moments and stuff like that. So I think there's always the chance the tides could turn again. You know, all EA need to do is obviously, I mean, it's still probably a long road, obviously, but you know, it's doable, and you can be tired. Just work on things that could be regarded as 2K's weaknesses and stuff like that. Keep the positive engagement with the community, listen to the feedback, and not have community managers that will dismiss, or even developers that will dismissed very easily on legitimate comments or YouTube videos in terms of, you know, where it's shopping like an issue and stuff like that.
Dismissing issues with tissues?
Yes, exactly. Yes, good one. and, you know, engaging with the community better in that sense and not being pricks, to say the least.
I do think that's, you know, showing that goodwill towards the community and listening to them, and the other thing that you brought up, you know, doing that, EA doing things that that 2K isn't doing either in gameplay, game modes, or certainly engagement with the community. And Kenny, it goes back to something you've said on a previous episode as well, that no one is too big to fail.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just have to look at the case of like soccer games. Pro Evolution Soccer was seen as the better alternative to FIFA back, I think it was somewhere in like the mid-2000s, maybe mid to late 2000s, but FIFA ultimately caught up. And one of the advantages that FIFA had was that they actually had licenses for pretty much all the players that they needed, and yes. Pro Evolution Soccer didn't. So eventually they pretty much eclipsed Pro Evolution Soccer because of that, and the fact that they were able to close in on the advantage that Pro Evolution Soccer had. So, yeah, no one's invincible.
And you look at some of the things, you know, that you referred to, Ben, the perhaps some of the way the fans have been treated with the snark and dismissal when they've had feedback. And hey, you know, I'll be the first to admit that gamers can be a rowdy bunch, and that, you know, sometimes we flat out suck at giving feedback. I mean, make the game better is not good feedback. I mean, it's what we want, but it doesn't tell them how and what we actually dislike. So yeah. And of course, people are rude and throwing, you know, death threats and racial remarks and all kinds of other stupid crap that, you know, if you're going to engage with the developers, don't do that. You know, be a decent human being, be an adult. Even if you're not 18 yet, be mature, act like an adult. You know, don't be doing that kind of stuff. But there are, and I've seen it too, and as you pointed out, that there have been very dismissive comments about very legitimate gripes and complaints and feedback on the games, and sort of subtweeting snarky pot shots at some of the comments, some of the feedback that's been made. And you think, well, really? This is stuff you should be taking on board. This is your dedicated fan base talking here. And stuff like what we talked about with the advertising, or always on, or VC gouging, that kind of stuff. I mean, it is the kind of thing that will turn people away from the brand. And if EA can catch up at all and bring out a product that is looking pretty good, you start thinking, well, okay, let's see what you've got, EA, because I'm not feeling so happy about 2K. Because this is exactly what happened to a lot of live gamers, that they weren't happy with what live was doing, saw what 2K was doing, and made the switch. Now EA is probably at, you know, with the struggles that the Live brand has had, and with some of the things that EA has done as a company, you know, there's probably going to be some people, and certainly if they're PC gamers, are going to say, look, I'm not supporting EA. You know, that's the people's call to make. There are some people that aren't going to be won over, but there will be those people who aren't necessarily lifelong loyal to the brand, or they're certainly going to be happy enough to change brands if they're not happy with the product. There are people who are going to switch back to Live if Live can bring it, and if 2K is going to either not fix issues with the game, or if they're going to do other things that kind of alienate gamers.
Yeah, the other thing too, like with EA, what they need to do is create really in-depth modes, and that, you know, there's things that we've mentioned in previous podcasts. If they can do that, like from what I hear with FIFA The Journey, it's really good, well produced and everything like that. So if they can bring that kind of level of polish and depth into the other game modes, and not just say like the sort of a journey or a micro aspect of it, but, you know, really in-depth gauge in Dynasty and other association modes or stuff like that,
absolutely,
that they might do, you know, and not just sort of focus on one little mode or one mode and stuff like that, sort of really do what 2K have done and really try and do these really in-depth modes, and potentially even, you know, maybe out try and don't say that, you know, if they're able to do something similar but different, but also have that kind of depth and stuff like that. You know, if there's something, an element that in, say, 2K's game mode that someone might not like. And say, like, for instance, like how I'll use 2K's own example of my GM and my league, how, you know, one has like a VC route, one's more sort of sandboxy kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, if AA did something like that where it was, like, say someone didn't like the my GM route because the whole pay to sort of play in that sort of sense. You know.
To be fair, they have toned that down, as I understand it, in my GM. They have toned down some of the payball stuff, which is definitely good.
Yeah.
But there is there's still some of VC in it. Well, you're not in control. It's less of a sandbox experience, so it's more RPG based.
Yeah, well, this was just purely like an apples and orange sort of example in that sense. It wasn't trying to knock the mode in any way.
Oh no, I know that in previous episodes we have talked about that, and and just to clarify, you know, our own statements on that. Apparently, it is actually they've cut down on that significantly. Okay. 2K14 was bad with it. That's what really that's why I'm really happy to see my league in the game these days.
So yeah, if they, you know, went like it, again, you say they did like a similar type thing, but again slightly different. You know, it offered a few different things that the other mode in the other game didn't do. That, you know, someone go, oh, this sounds really cool. You know, there's a few little things here and there that might be, I guess, regarded as maybe enough of a nugget to want to try and stuff. So yeah, I think there can be ways that EA can make a good comeback in terms of, you know, if 2K if they get stung and stuck in like a we got this kind of thing and not really, I want to say evolve, but really improve some things that, you know, like those legacy issues or disregard, you know, legitimate feedback and things like that. So sort of just rehashing, you know, there could be a way. There could be a way.
And as you said, Live has a long road ahead of it. It does have to bring the gameplay up to scratch. It definitely has to have that depth of the game modes because the foundation is there, but an ultimate team is probably the most fleshed out. But if you look at some of the stuff in my team, the way that they're with all the different kinds of challenges and all the cards you can collect and all the, even the sorting options in the auction house are better in my team than Ultimate Team now. So continuing to flesh out those modes and really so that people can really be engrossed in it and have gameplay that people really enjoy getting engrossed in, absolutely what they need to do. Hearing good things, you know, as far as, you know, well, certainly developers seem to be, you know, dropping hints about this and that, and they're working hard and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, people say we've heard that before, but seeing the improvement from 14 to 16, I'm at least optimistic that they can keep making some good changes for Live 17, and they're obviously committed to doing it, committed to the brand. They do have some talented people there. They've got some good resources, obviously. But the thing is, yeah, absolutely, I do think that 2K is kind of leaving the door open with some of those legacy issues, maybe a bit of complacency. I mean, not that they're not working hard on 2K, because obviously, you know, we know how hard, for the people we know how hard they're working. But the idea that, as you said, Kenny, that no one is invincible, no one can be too big to fail, the idea that EA is done and that 2K, you know, is unstoppable juggernaut, although it seems like that at times, with some of the legacy issues that and new issues, old issues, and then the attitude towards the fans at times on top of that, you know, EA has done, EA's community stuff is way ahead of what 2K is doing with the interaction with the fans and the community events. Now, I haven't been to a 2K community event, but having heard about it and seen what they do and how they bring them in late, too late to really have an impact, it's more like a promotional thing for YouTubers, whereas with all the EA community events, I mean, YouTubers are part of them as well, but also bringing in people like myself and other EA game changers and everyone, people, it's brought in to really improve the game and get quality feedback, not to promote the game. I mean, they were, if they wanted me to promote the game, they would have had me talking about everything as soon as I got back from Orlando last year and, you know, and encouraging me to say things, which they didn't. They said, you know, don't talk about this yet, and they never instructed me on what to say. No, I've never been instructed by EA to say anything. If anything, I've been instructed not to say something yet because of the NDA, you know, don't talk about Dynasty just yet, back in the day. But in any case, yeah, it's the combination of those legacy issues and the attitude, I think, is definitely souring some fans on the brand a little bit. So I mean, at this point, you would think that the door would have slammed on live, and I guess a lot of people have, and you see the comments on social media, but you also see a lot of people enjoying the live brand and wanting to succeed, and people who are saying, well, we really, if nothing else, we want an alternative, and we'll give EA a look if they can bring it. So I guess it's, if the door is still open, it is, it's on EA now to kick the door down, you know, kick the door open and get back into the room, so to speak.
So, yeah, I think there's one other thing that's sort of been a little bit bothersome for this year in regards to 2K's game is this. I don't want to say a lie, but a miscommunication or misinformation about some of the, maybe, like, game modes or some of the things you can do in the game modes and stuff like that. We're kind of yet to really see it yet, or I don't know if it's something, things like in the case of the roster changes and sort of like Pro-Am, how you can sort of change your lineups and stuff like that. Just an example. I don't know if it's a stage where you have to unlock in like an elite level yet, but yeah, just trying to find out and stuff like that, how to do it, if you can do it, you know.
The lack of information about editing and like when you get to certain pro and elite tiers, I mean, this should be put out there, you would think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's taken a lot of search to try and figure it out, if or when, you know, when the tiers can be reached and that. So, yeah, it was kind of like a lack of information or not, or just withholding it. Maybe it was a little bit different compared to what they were doing.
Well,
last
year, I mean, they made us really wait for the information this year, and then. I mean, there was things about how the clipping is going to be better, and I don't think it really is. In some things, it even seems worse sometimes, certainly no better, or not noticeably better. So, I mean, obviously, lots of great work has gone into the game, and you know, we've talked about what we do like about the game, but yeah, there is that stuff, and I'm with you. Like, I don't like to use the word lie. People, gamers, definitely throw that word around way too much. And especially times when they misunderstand or when it's not explained clearly and we assume it means one thing and it actually means another. But that's where you need the clarification and explanation. And we do get the in-depth developer blogs, but sometimes details are skimmed over. And, you know, we've talked about before how they're not always forthcoming with information when it's bad news. You know, they'll...
Yeah.
Certainly crew mode is the example I always go back to when it wasn't included, and people were asking about it, and I was like, and they were like, it's a great game, and it's sort of not actually answering the question about crew mode. And if they just come out and said, look, you know, it's not,
and then when they did bring it back, it wasn't exactly how people
wanted it. No, if they'd come out and said, look, telemetrics have said that very few people are playing this mode, or there are issues with it, we want to take it out, we want to upgrade it. If there'd been some explanation, you know, it is not there. And this is why people still would have been upset, but they would have at least got an honest answer instead of dancing around the truth or no answer at all. And I know, obviously, community reps can't always come out and say it, but they should have been given the green light at some point to say something, you know. And sort of at the last minute, when people have already pre-ordered, oh, by the way, no crew mode, But it's definitely. And stuff like that it all comes down to goodwill with customers. And I'm sure that, you know, with your, all the stuff you're doing with business, Kenny, you know, you can attest to how much goodwill and everything and those positive relationships can really help or hurt a brand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of fundamental in business. Like, if you want somebody to keep returning as your customer, you just have to treat them well. Like, that's something that anybody knows, really.
Yeah.
So, sure. Yeah, I just think 2K needs a little bit more transparency when it comes to like certain things like that. And even like from a personal example, I wanted to know whether like the online My League had expansion drafts, and I didn't find that out until I got the game. So, you know, it's pretty easy question to answer. Like, it's either a yes or a no.
But, yeah. And that was one reason why I ended up getting the game, because, you know, it was kind of looking like we could, or there was no information about whether we couldn't. So it was like, and we'd had all these discussions while playing Pro about potentially doing something this year with that. So that, and that's why I ended up buying the game in the end, because it sounded like, you know, a good idea that, you know, something fun we could do, but it turns out that we couldn't, but we didn't we didn't know this information until after we basically had purchased the game.
And
actually had it in our hands. So,
and even,
yeah.
Like you say, a yes and no answer, Kenny. But it, and if people get upset, an honest answer. You know, it was too difficult to implement. You got 9-month or 11-month development cycle. You know, there's only some things you can leave out. Very reasonable explanations that you can give to follow up on that yes and no answer. Or a no answer, following up on a no answer in this case.
And, like, it's not something that would have made me be like, oh, pre-order cancelled. Like, when I found out it wasn't there, I was just like, okay, I'll just have to do this offline then. No big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they just need to give their consumers a little bit more credit, because not all of them are trolls that are telling, you know, their community manager guy to fix the servers or to fix the game when he obviously has no input into how the game actually runs itself. So, yep. Like, we know about the different roles that people have in the company. Like, just be more open with us about, you know, what's in the game, what's not in the game, how to get to certain levels in 2K Pro-Am, because that would be nice.
Yep.
Since we don't have the customization straight off the bat for some reason. And yeah, that's pretty much it, really.
Absolutely. And of course, that goes for EA. I mean, if they are to win back the crowd, they need to do the same thing or even outdo 2K in that aspect of community engagement and consumer goodwill, especially when you haven't delivered the product that gamers have really wanted for, you know, a couple of generations now. You really do need to, you know, bring it and show that we can deliver a great product and deliver great support and everything else. The EA servers are pretty good. I mean, I haven't played FIFA, but I have heard that it's buttery smooth online, which 2K isn't always, as we can attest to that. But yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, to circle back to the original point, the door is open, and you would think it would be slammed shut on EA at this point, but through whether it's cockiness, arrogance, or an inability to fix certain things or whatever, the door is still open. You know, 2K is still a fantastic product and will continue to be a fantastic product, I know, and I have no doubt about that. But as far as the attitude and whether the brand will never yield or anything, you know, like you said, Kenny, never too big to fail or to lose that market share. We've seen it go back and forth in all kinds of genres and in gaming as well, like you said, with Pro Evolution and FIFA. So I guess we'll see. It is on EA to bring it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, one thing I want to bring up, like, when we've had Sean O'Brien on, you know, he's been open and honest and,
oh yeah,
you know, and even said things, you know, his PR team and that wouldn't have really wanted him to say it at such an early stage, but, you know, he showed good faith and yeah, he was very open and honest about the things and you know, the stuff that the team, what they were working on and that. So, you know, a credit and thanks to him for that honesty and trusting that would understand and all that stuff. So, yeah, and even if it was a potential risk of, you know, people going, oh, I'm not pre-ordering the game now kind of thing. So, you know, it was, yeah, he took a gamble in mentioning stuff to us and on our podcast. And when,
definitely.
When you and I, in particular, you've had the opportunity to interview him and that. So, you know, it can be done. And, yeah, there's always a risk to potentially doing it. But there's also the risk of, I don't want to say upsetting, but, you know, I suppose, you know, upsetting the hand that feeds you or something like that.
Sure,
you know,
he's the executive producer, but he also answers to other people higher up in the corporate level. So absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but it was also referring to us being the hands that feed them. Obviously, it's our money that helps pay for their wages in terms of, you know, of buying the product and that.
Oh, sure.
So,
yeah.
So you know, yeah, at the risk of potentially upsetting us, and you know, there is a risk, but yeah, you know, if you say, oh, yes, we weren't able to do this at this stage kind of thing.
It's the honesty, the people at the end of the day, you know, whatever, especially as consumers, that you really want to see. So,
can I just add one last point?
Sure.
Yep.
As far as being too big to fail, there's also a flip side to that. There are companies that have done way worse than EA and they've recovered after, like, some, you know, big scandal or, you know, some dodgy practice or something like that. So it's not like EA are in a place where they can't get back up. I'm sure, like, if they bring out a decent product or, you know, find a way to improve, like, drastically, then there's absolutely a chance that they can get back to the top or close enough to it. So
be competitive, well, at least, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think they're, you know, too far beyond it. I think still a good chance.
If you look at some of the product that they're releasing at the moment, Battlefield 1's had a really good reception. You know, Mass Effect, so it's coming out, and that looks really good. You know, they're starting to repair their brand in the whole, not just like within the whole NBA Live aspect. You know, FIFA's been really strong, obviously, and again, with what they're doing with the Journey stuff is really good. From what I hear, Madden this year is like one of the best ones that they've had compared to previous years and all that stuff. So they're starting to potentially get a few things right. Yes, it's taking a long time, but the end result could be worth it in the end, in that sense. And, you know, they've done some goodwill in a lot of things in and outside of gaming, obviously, with the Women Who Code stuff, the equal rights in terms of, you know, LGBTQ communities and stuff like that. So, yeah, they're doing a few good things and all that stuff. And the results of good games are starting to come along, and some of the staff that they've hired recently and all that, you know, they're starting to show a better sense of direction in a lot of things. So yeah,
no, it is definitely, you know, the door is still open at the end, I guess, is our the TLDR, or what's it, too long didn't listen, TLDL, in response to that question. Absolutely, but we will see what they bring out. In the meantime, of course, 2K do continue to produce what we feel are, for, in many respects, are very, very good games with NBA 2K, and we have been playing that, which we will now talk a little bit about in our week in basketball gaming.
Puts it down! What a play!
Oh, that's a sweet finish right there.
And surprise, surprise, everyone, we've been playing 2K Pro-Am this week. But not just 2K Pro-Am. We will get to some other things, but it is kind of Pro-Am related, I suppose. But we've been playing some Pro-Am, stringing together a few wins. You know, we talked about it last week on the show. You couldn't join us, Kenny, but you have been able to join us for some Pro-Am games. We have been playing pretty well at times. You know, we've had some nights where we've won more than we've lost, and I think about 10 or so wins in the past week or so, which is not too bad, considering some of the sessions we've had this year and last year.
Yeah,
we've definitely improved upon our efforts in 2K16, and I'm not sure what, like, the contributing factors really are. I mean, we kind of got it together towards the end of 2K16, but I don't know. It might be because of our player roles. We kind of know what we're doing and, you know, what we're trying to achieve and whatnot, and my player hasn't got the T-Rex arm, so he can block a few shots again. I'm starting to make a few shots, which is nice. I couldn't hit very much towards, like, the start of 2K17 Pro-Am, so that's enhanced by a few badges. So, yes, badges are very important.
Yes, I was going to say, and I think that comes back to the fact that my career, it's instead of having the lengthy storyline and everything, we're getting right into it, and we're all fairly deep into that first season now, so we're able to get those badges and all those upgrades and everything, and that's definitely made a difference. Like the Diamond badge, I noticed that you guys were hitting some shots that previous weeks probably wouldn't, so with your offensive badges and my playmaking badges sort of working together, we've been hitting running some pretty good plays with you going the baseline, Kenny, and Ben, you hit this ridiculous fall away three that I don't know if we would have made in previous weeks, but the diamond badge came up, so I think it might have given you like a 5% or boost or something, or whatever the gold badge does, 10% or 15% something. I'm not sure of the percentage this year, but I know it is a slight boost. But, you know, seeing the badges coming up and seeing, obviously, and I've got the catch and shoot badge now as well, so I'm just making a few threes in our most recent session. So, and I was noticing that when we do run a play well and when you get open and those badges do seem to combine, absolutely, they matter. And I do think we are sort of, we've obviously been playing a lot together these last few months, so we know how we all play and everything, and kind of working on some better strategies and not trying to all be player one or just drive it to the basket for dunks all the time, showing a bit more patience. But it's kind of hard this year when we have five. And we talked about it during the party chat when we were playing the other night. Sometimes it's easier with three rather than the five. When last year, with the garbage AI, I mean, we've had some garbage AI this year as well, but certainly last year, some of the AI we were saddled with. But it's actually, you can be more competitive this year with three. Whereas sometimes with five, you're still trying to work out roles, or you know, might, if you haven't touched the ball in a while, you might take a bad shot because you want to get some points or something. Or you know, you're sort of in that player one mentality. I think that's probably some of our struggles, but the last couple of weeks haven't been too bad with that.
I think we're starting to find our consistency and with the player role stuff. I can agree with the five player thing as well. There'll be moments where someone's not really getting the ball too much, and you know, they get excited when they get it for a second, and yeah, it can result in like a bad shot taken, or the game isn't going exactly how I was hoping or how we're hoping, and that, and you know, just sort of you do end up taking a garbage shot just for the sake, and you just sort of like in like a bit of a, I suppose, in a huff, I guess would be the term.
Because no, you're frustrated, and you play with frustration, just like in real life, and it doesn't work out, basically.
Yeah. It's an interesting experience and stuff like that compared to where we were last year. It's been fun though, like in terms of seeing where we go. But yeah, when those moments where the game's not, you know, performing well with things like lag or input issues or things like that, or you know.
Well, weren't you having a tough loss? Like, we had one last night, too. Was it the Green Light District? We had a really bad beatdown from
them.
And towards
twice
the end...
Twice to them now, yeah.
I noticed in both of those games, towards the end, none of us were kind of really playing... We were playing very half-hardened, you know, or half-hardened, maybe, defense. because
that must be awful defense.
Because, you're just sort of like, this is out of reach. Nothing is going right. Let's just throw some flashy passes and see if we can get some numbers before the merciful buzzer comes to end this beatdown. You know, we it sort of gets that point, and you're just not really that into the game, so everything kind of suffers, the shot selection, the defense and everything. But, you know, I mean, getting back to the whole 3 versus 5 thing, I mean, we've had some pretty good games with the five of us, and there are times when definitely, when there's nobody playing at center, that it's harder. I think it's going to be one of those things where we have to maybe rotate a bit, like who's got the hot hand, and sort of say, okay, well, you know, this is not the game where I score a lot, or I'm going to have to score the garbage points, or just as wait until the double team, because they start double teaming whoever's got the hot hand, and then start working from there. And as the point guard, the playmaker, I do try to distribute to everyone as evenly as possible. But then again, you also feed the hot hand as well, you know. And we found that play that was... that pinch post play that was working really well in a couple of games, and we haven't got it to work since. they've closed up on it. But it has been, you know, some frustrating experiences as usual, but at the same time, when it clicks, it feels really good. And what really feels good, Kenny, is when you hit game winners. you hit the one in the double overtime classic. I don't know if we'll ever top that performance. That was just an incredible game to... I've got.
I don't.
I watched.
Did I hit
again.
That one?
The what? Sorry.
Okay. So, did I? Because I hit one. I think it was. We were tied, and then I hit a three.
Oh, sorry. The double overtime. We pulled away at the end. You're right.
I mean, because I was just like, whoa! I hit one in that one.
That's right. You had some good looks and got screwed over. That's right.
I had one to win it on both the regulation and the overtime, and I missed them both. Thankfully, I made up for those by hitting a three to put us three up in that one game, and then one that was fairly similar, but I think it was better in my opinion because we were actually down by one, and I hit the corner three with a dude in my face. So that was like easily my favorite moment.
Yeah. It was definitely incredible. Like the one where you did hit the game winner. I remember that one. Now that you said it, and that that was pretty good, and it was good. But then when you hit that one last week, or over the last week, that is, because like you said, we were down one, so there was no tomorrow. There was no overtime if we had that. I'm proud to have had the assist on both of those. And it was the same play as well. Me getting it in, running to the top of the key and firing it over to you in the corner. And it's that's clearly our game-winning play, apparently.
What I would have given to see to hear the response of the other team.
Oh yeah,
because it would have been priceless.
Rightfully pissed off, I'm imagining, because that was. But hey, you've got the badges, you've got you've got all that, so it's.
I had an awful night from the field as well, so that was kind of my redemption, because. I think I was probably shooting around less than 40% that game. So, yeah, it wasn't a very good game for me. But then I hit that one. I was like, yes,
had my Kobe moment. Considering the times that we seem to get screwed over on open shots and pretty good releases online and with the lag and everything, we were owed at least one really tough shot to win a game. Because we've lost a couple of games like that as well. So we were due to have some good fortune with our good ratings actually coming into play. With that, so that was definitely an exciting win, and we've had a bit of a rivalry lately with one team. Melbourne Tiger has been showing up a fair bit on when we get online. We should get online after we finish recording this and just see if they're online again.
Yeah, I was going to suggest it actually.
See if they're actually online. If we can continue the series. But those games are actually
probably they're patiently waiting for us. Where are they? Come on.
They're in 2K16 as well. I remember playing them, and those games are pretty competitive. Still, the cheese with the timeout glitch. I hope they resolve that before they get into all their esports tournaments, because that's going to be very embarrassing if people are using that in the tournament.
Oh yeah, that would have to put so much PR spin if that ended up having to if that glitch was exploited in that tournament. That would be worse than the Andrew Bynum and Jesus glitch, honestly.
Yeah, yep. That's when Live does a pregame celebration animation, a pregame animation where the camera just flies down the other end of the court for no reason. Calls it esports.
That's genius. They should pay you for that one, Andrew.
Well, a special custom camera angle, maybe in Live. It's just called esports, and it's just this terrible angle from the baseline. But the other thing we did last night from when we're recording this is we actually went into the park, and my apologies to Rivet City. I was not loyal to you. Not that I ever went into the park anyway, so I guess that's...
These Drews aren't loyal.
That's right. So we went to Sunset Beach, almost said Sunset Boulevard. I've got a great picture of me just staring in wonder at the tank with the sharks. So... my cover photo actually on social media. Had a game. It's just a 3-on-3, so the three of us went in there, squatted up, had the game. It wasn't too bad. We did lose, had a couple of moments. We all scored, so that was nice. We at least sort of shared the sugar and
down. I had that nice 360 dunk.
You did had the 360 dunk, yeah. I made layups that I can't make in Pro-Am. That annoyed me a little bit, but it's park is interesting. It's not really my thing, but it's fun to go in there every so often, and maybe we'll do it again sometime just to do that. But the big thing about park is the waiting system, and I know why they do it—the whole got next thing—and it's simulating going to the park and playing. But there's some things I think the game shouldn't have, or that it should streamline, and having to do that, it's obviously some people are having fun skipping through the park. We saw one fellow really enjoying his time in the park, not so much playing, but certainly wandering the grounds.
His nickname was Skip to My Lou.
Oh, Skip to My Lou. Yes, that's obviously. But I think you brought it up, Kenny. You know why they do it, but it's just annoying having to wait and just stand there and wait for a game. I mean, it's annoying enough having to wait for the matchmaking to work in 2K Pro-Am, but at least you can shoot around on the court.
Yeah, it's weird because 2K Pro-Am has actually eclipsed my park as far as waiting for games. Like last year, you had to sit at that waiting screen for ages and you couldn't do anything. And it was like, well, my park has a better waiting system than 2K Pro-Am, and now Pro-Am's the better one. So, yeah, I think my park could definitely improve it. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, in defense of my park and the waiting system, you don't have to wait as long. It's not a timed game. It's a score-based one. True. So the only downside is that when they get to, like, 19 all or whatever, sometimes they just start taking full court shots just to see who can, you know, pull off, like, the craziest shot to win the game.
Well, the game was won last night with a bank from half court, pretty much.
Yeah, and that's one thing, like, that's another thing with my park. You have to be hyper vigilant on defense because you pretty much have to play full court. Otherwise, they're just going to pull up from half court and hit those every time. Because I think my park's set at an easier difficulty, possibly.
It definitely feels more arcadey.
Yeah.
And of course,
and look, that serves a particular market, and I can respect that.
Absolutely.
But,
I mean, that's the great thing about 2K's game modes is that there is, in theory, something for everyone. You know, online and offline. So that is definitely... Pro-Am seems to be more our speed, but yeah, like I said, I wouldn't mind going to the park every so often. We went in there last night because there was just no games after we had that first one in 2K Pro-Am. So we went into the park and...
And it is a good alternative for that because there's always people in the park. So you can just about always get a game there. So
yeah, that's good. Which we did without too much running around. So yeah, it's fine. I'll go into the park again. We still can't play tag, so that's unfortunate. But we can. I couldn't find out how to skip around. I was disappointed. I'm like pushing all the buttons.
Do the boxing.
That's an animation you have to buy at a later. I think it's like a rep. You have to get to a certain level, and then you can buy it. So
really,
yeah, paywall.
Okay, well, that was a nice thought about the park for a while. At least I got to play with my Tissot watch on. That was my pre-order pants and pre-order jersey.
I got to go like my Nathan Drake look, which I went for Halloween, not Valentine's Day. I said it again when I was getting the costume.
You got some weird dates, man. It just...
I know. All my idea of romance is weird.
Yeah.
It's quite dark.
I'm still rocking my Gordon Hayward jersey, so yeah. Not much has changed with me. I need to get some basketball shorts, though, because, I'm not too keen on the cargo shorts.
Don't you have the Paul George and shorts? They should be the pre-order. They should be there by the pre-order.
Yeah, I don't know how purple goes with those white shorts, though. That's the only thing. Like, I know that probably can get away with it, but just for me personally, I just don't think it looks very good.
I mean, you saw that guy's face scan in the park last night. You can get away with anything there. It's like that's where all the weirdos hang out in that park. Don't want to go to that park after dark, I tell you. It's just
yeah.
Just now, I'm just imagining Krusty going along on the unicycle, walking Mr. Teeny weirdos.
I have almost 100,000 in VC, so I could probably buy a pair of those shorts now, but I don't know. I don't play park enough to really justify doing that. So
100,000, at least halfway to buying some new clothes.
A new compression top.
Yep. After the park, we actually tried a walk-on game. So we actually did go back to 2K Pro-Am. And it was kind of cool how we could go into the travel as a squad into the walk-on game. And you know, you played a couple more walk-on games than we have, Kenny, and you said it was pretty clean. And it did feel cleaner than I thought, having heard you and X talk about the walk-on before. It went better than I expected. Although, towards the end, one gentleman that we were matched up with, or I say gentleman, but certainly a gamer we were matched up with, began to chuck a lot and may have shot us out.
Oh, yeah. See, what you saw towards the end of the fourth quarter, that's what you see in every quarter, pretty much from 2K Pro-Am, except usually it's the point guard doing it exclusively. Like, I remember in 2K16, the point guard of our team, like I was having a really good game, but he started to run quick ISOs for himself. Right. In order to get his stats up, and it just wasn't working for him. And I remember getting on the mic and saying, like, you actually want to win, right? Like, that's like the point of basketball, to win the game. Can you just, like, maybe pass the ball off your point guard?
Yeah.
So,
These point guards don't know how to play and distribute, man. Grinds my gears.
Well, yeah. We all know that Steph Curry doesn't get any assists, so that's I guess that's the way the game is going, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah. But it definitely helped going in there, the three of us as a squad, both my park and the walk-on game. So at least we had the familiarity with each other, and we're on the mic to each other, so we could at least have communication. So.
And it is a lot of fun talking trash about those guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, walk-on games can be fun when you're with your friends, but when you're by yourself, it's just, like, it's tedious. You wait for... I remember in 2K16, it was a long waiting process, and you'd wait sometimes for, like, 20 to 30 minutes, and you'd get into the game, you wouldn't get the ball. And it's like, well, that was worth the wait.
Yep, absolutely.
Time well spent.
So I think Pro-Am is basically... Yeah. It's our speed, really. It's more into, and the fact they've got the stat tracking now and everything, it's good. And my career, you know, we've been earning those badges. I'm currently working on the lob part, the Lob City passer badge. And damn it, Gallo, if you could finish an alley-oop when you're open, that's all I'm going to have to say about that.
I thought it was Jokic you one having beef with about the open alley-oops.
Oh, they've both been doing it. They've both been. Gallo misses open jumpers as well. I should have topped 30 assists by now, because I'm working, I think, my third or fourth.
You mean 300 assists or 30?
No, 30 in a game. 30 in a game. I got the diamond badge, so I do have the 300 on the season. I got the flashy passer, pick and roll maestro, dimer. Just need the... I've got catch and shoot somehow. I must have been doing more catch and shoot than I thought. So I've got a few other badges that are outside the playmaker that, of course, you can't pay the VC to upgrade. But more important, I get the playmaking ones for Pro-Am and such. And I'm working on, I think, third or fourth straight 20-plus assist game. But, yeah, I would have got 30-plus assists if they'd actually finished those open alley-oops and the open jump shots. I was just sitting there muttering in the last game, no more passes for you. No more passes to you. But then they got open for a layup. Like, oh, I relented. And they fortunately finished that. Like, you're lucky. Maybe one more pass for you, but wasting my assists. But you guys got any stories from my career before we move on to some NBA stuff? Or anything else you're doing?
My team's on a 30-win game streak.
Almost on the record.
My career. Yeah.
Now, it's acknowledging that the Nuggets, the Mike, because I'm on like a 12-13 streak at the moment, I think. It's acknowledging that I'm on a streak. Is it acknowledging it in the commentary?
No. Sort of in-game a little bit, but not really, like, especially before tip-off stuff. I thought it more acknowledged win streaks last year in 2K16. But, I really don't feel like it's doing it this year compared to what I remember from last year and that. I'm kind of disappointed about that, and especially when, like, at the beginning, you know, Ernie sort of talks about, because he was sort of talked about when I had to go up against the Warriors, actually. You know, they mentioned the sort of streak that they're on. I was like, but I'm completely owning them at the moment. I've got nearly more than twice as many wins as they do at this current streak, and it was like, there's no mention of it. And it was like, what's the point? So, I mean, in the social media feed, you know, it's like recognized, like a couple of people in the official Denver Nuggets Twitter account thing in the game, you know, recognizes, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, just a bit disheartened by that, considering.
And what's the latest badge that you've got, Kenny?
I'm trying to think. I did get the on-court coach one, which I thought was pretty interesting, because I thought that was like a point guard specific badge, but it's apparently a mentality one, so yep. I was able to get that somehow. That allows me to get priority when it comes to calling for passes and whatnot, so that's pretty cool. I got like this red badge for being like a for like the stretch big or something. I sent the image to Ben the other day. I didn't like upload it to social media, but it says like, you know how every now and then we see like that red icon underneath the player in Pro-Am?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I've got that now when I get on a hot streak, and apparently that puts me like in an unconscious shooting mode, which,
okay.
Yes and no. I can still miss the shot when I hit that like level, but yeah. I'm just trying to think of some other things. I made it to the All-Star Weekend. That was pretty fun. Though there was one curious little tidbit I will mention. I was in the dunk contest and I missed my first dunk and I got a zero for it. I was like, oh, I don't get a redo. And I was kind of annoyed about that because I did like my next two dunks scored 39 and 47. So I would have been in the competition. But then in the All-Star game, Anthony Davis missed an open dunk. Well, it wasn't an open dunk. I guess it was fairly contested. But Clark Kellogg said, this is not the slam dunk contest. You don't get do-overs. And I'm like, well, I don't get them either. So what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's
I don't get them in the slam dunk contest.
They've taken that out of the dunk contest. And well, at least you can make it through the dunk contest without the game crashing now, because apparently that was a big thing where people had to skip the dunk contest because it was actually locking up in my...
That's yeah. Right. And I remember I was in the three-point contest as well, and Steph Curry had a perfect round. And I was like, no, you got this one, dude.
So it seems only appropriate that you were in both events. After all, the first player to compete in both events on the same night was Kenny the Jet Smith.
Okay. I liked Kenny the Jet Smith as a player, just not so much as like a... I won't say as an analyst, but as like a... Blake Griffin dunk contest promoter. He really turned me off there. So, yeah, just keep him away from that dunk contest.
Well, when he screwed a Iguodala, that was...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't rate that either. Yeah. The Jets got some explaining to do.
Yeah. Jets got to take off. But, yeah. So guess that's pretty much been our week in gaming, guys. Yeah, looking forward to another, obviously, fun week of Pro-Am and some other stuff with my career. Get those... I'll keep our respective streaks going, and you know, I think you're the furthest ahead, Kenny. With if you're at the All-Star game, or are you there as well, Ben? Or I'm a bit lagging.
I am still in January. I think I'm getting fairly close to it. I can't remember the date I'm at this stage, but
I just passed Christmas, and had training on Christmas Day, by the way.
That's a chip.
Humbug.
Thanks for that, Denver. Thank you, Coach Brubaker. Really appreciate that.
I think I did as well, actually, thinking back. But yeah, I'd be in early January, so I'm probably like about a week or so ahead of you at this stage, or maybe like 2 weeks. Yeah.
So we will see if we can get on the cover of 2K18 in our respective alternate universes where we are NBA players and not people playing games. So that's about it for our week in gaming. Before we wrap up, of course, just want to talk real quick about the real NBA season. 2017 NBA season has tipped off, or I suppose it's tip-off 2016, but the new season has tipped off. I've caught a couple of games over the past couple of days. It's been great to see some NBA action again. The big thing coming into the season, of course, Kevin Durant going to the Warriors. The Warriors, how many games will they win? And people talking about how they'll beat 73-9, since that's the thing to beat now. That still feels wrong to me, but that is what it is. But so they came into that first game already to be the all-powerful Warriors, not the Warriors that blew the 3-1 series lead to the Cavs in the finals, and they got smashed by the Spurs by 29 points at home. And Simmons for MVP, I guess, because he was just tearing up that, and he got a really good block on Steph Curry, and then a really good dunk to finish the game. But it's been kind of funny, guys, because everyone's already jumping to the excuses. Like, oh, and it's, of course, the new team, and they've got to get the chemistry. And like, okay, true. But all off-season, you were talking about them being unbeatable. So, you know, I remember after they won their second game of the preseason, they was like, who can beat the Warriors this year? Like, well, the Raptors beat them in game one of the preseason. So kind of what you'd say if they were undefeated in the preseason. But anyway, I mean, I think the Warriors will get it together, win 60-odd games, but if there's one thing that I noticed watching the game, they look pretty soft inside, and I think that, you know, as much as they've got that extra offensive firepower now, teams can really beat up on them inside now. So it's going to be interesting to see if they actually are better with Durant, because to do so, they did have to get rid of some of their depth, including in the middle and in the front court with their bigs. I mean, Zaza is a presence, and especially when he's kicking out at people's groins. they're already in player form. So, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, whether the experiment actually works, especially since Durant has an opt-out clause, apparently, at the end of the season. I mean, ooh, people are already talking about it. There are already photoshops of him coming to the Spurs by the end of the third quarter of the season opener. So that joke's not going to end anytime soon.
That was pretty funny.
They got Kevin Durant, but they gave away an awful lot as well. Like, with Bogut, Azili, and Maurice Spates, they gave away basically all their, like, toughness in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Draymond Green's a fine player, but he's, what, 6'7", 6'8", or something? He's not, like, that, you know, massive presence that Bogut was, yeah, or Festus, yeah, Azili. Like, those guys pretty underrated in the whole grand scheme of things. And you have a guy like Bogut as well, who's like a really gifted passer. And yeah, I just, when he went to the Mavs, I just thought, oh, you know, I think the Warriors just got weaker. But then I think, the whole Kevin Durant thing, I suppose they will probably win like somewhere in the high 60s. That would be my guess.
Definitely around about 65, I think, you know, that much talent. But again, the way you had Gasol and Aldridge just eating them up inside, and you think if Bogut was there and such, it would definitely be a bit of a different story. So you look what Anthony Davis just did today. I mean, are they going to be able to contend with a really dominant big inside? And admittedly, there's not as many of them left in the league, and even players like Davis are stepping out to take threes. But
I just want to add that the Nuggets actually won that game against the Pelicans. But anyway,
that's the thing. It's like it was a huge game, he was at 50 points, 16 rebounds, 7 steals, 5 assists, and 4 blocks. So very close to the 5x5 with 50 points, which would have been an amazing game. But yeah, they were trailing late, and the Nuggets won. So it's tremendous numbers, but yeah, no help apparently. And the Nuggets got off to a start, and that's got to feel good.
Yeah, and I just want to go back to like the whole Warriors thing and how they were getting beaten up inside. I'm kind of hoping that that brings the big man back into the game. Like, absolutely, seeing how the Spurs like did that against the Warriors, other teams might like say, "Oh, maybe that's the way to beat the quote unquote unbeatable Warriors." And yeah, maybe get back to the whole post-up game that we saw in yesteryear and that, you know, we all loved, like with the likes of Hakeem and Shaq, and, you know, obviously those guys are supreme post players, and, you know, finding somebody like that is like really difficult to do in the current climate. But yeah, I'm hoping it signals like a kind of shift in the way teams play.
Renaissance of the big man.
Bring back the big man. Let the all-star ballot actually have center on it again instead of front court. So.
Yeah.
But huge numbers, obviously. LeBron had the first triple-double since Jason Kidd in 2006. So 10 years, you know, first triple-double on opening night in 10 years. Westbrook came close. He had 32, 12, and 9 in the opener against the 76ers. So big numbers coming there. I did watch that. I watched both the Warriors game, Warriors Spurs, and also caught, what's the opening? Of course, Cavs and Knicks. But I also watched the Thunder and 76ers today, and Joel Embiid finally made his NBA debut, finally. And 22 minutes, 20.7 rebounds, and a couple of blocks. And I was actually very impressed with his footwork and the moves that he was making in the post, and even in the mid-range, actually stepped out and hit a three as well, but had some really nice touch sort of in the low block and making some good moves. I will totally admit that I thought it was it was going to be a bust of a pick because he came in injured. I'm thinking, oh, you know, this is a bad idea, 76ers. Clearly, I did not trust the process, which apparently he wants to make his nickname, Joel the Process MV. But
oh man,
that would be pretty funny if that catches on, actually. But
the dude's got a sense of humor. You got to admire him for that,
definitely. But I thought it was going to be a Greg Oden situation where, you know, he was just always going to be injured, and it was just going to turn out to be a bust of a pick because he came in with those injury problems. And hey, look, it's one game, one official game, and lots of games and lots of the rest of his career to go to actually prove me right or wrong about that. But I will absolutely admit that I think I jumped the gun on that. You know, I think that I was envisioning this Greg Oden type situation, but he's definitely got some talent. And if he does stay healthy and look pretty healthy, you know, it's not like the chronic situation with Oden, so it would seem. You know, it's...
So what you're saying is, like, the problem with Oden wasn't his talent, it was the fact that he couldn't stay fit, right?
I do think that, because you see, when Oden was actually healthy, in half a game, he was putting up some pretty good numbers. You know, there's legitimate talent with Oden, but I thought it was going to be a situation where, you know, injuries just completely derailed what should have been a pretty, at least a solid career. But Embiid,
It still remains to be seen whether Embiid can, like, string together a few games, but...
Totally.
Like, at this stage, you can see why the Sixers aren't willing to put him on the trade block, and probably more willing to, like, listen to calls about Okafor and Nerlens Noel first. So
absolutely. No, it just seemed like a bust of a pick, and hey, maybe it still might be, but he's definitely got some talent, that an NBA level talent. It's still got a long way to go and still raw, and, you know, he was missing some shots, and, you know, the result wasn't always there with the moves, but it's just the footwork and that, you know. And you talked about bringing back the big man, and obviously he can step out and hit that mid-range and even the occasional three-pointer. Then again, Hakeem stepped out in the mid-range as well as David Robinson. They even shot the occasional three themselves, and made them. But yeah, maybe he will be one of the next great bigs in kind of that a hybrid of the traditional role with some of the bit more of the three-point shooting. I mean, last year I saw the stat that 13 centers shot 75 or more attempts from three-point range, which was a record. So there's definitely a lot more players stepping out, but if we can get some of that banging down low again, and the, you know, the post moves and the dream shake. He actually did kind of try and do a little bit of a shimmy move, and not quite the dream, but yeah, like I say, he's actually got some decent footwork. So it's sort of the 76ers, and they took the Thunder to the limit. The fans just looked absolutely devastated when the Thunder pulled away to win the game at the end there. But I'm not going to say that the 76ers are going to be great this year, but I think they're going to be pretty fun to watch, and especially when Simmons gets there, it could be a real interesting team. Like, they could start to be coming back to relevance, you know, so I guess the process could be trusted, whether it's Embiid or the process in general, who knows?
I hope so, and down the line, who knows, we might see some epic battles between Embiid and Thon Maker. I sound crazy now, but, you know.
Hey, how about Simmons versus Simmons in the finals, Spurs and 76ers? I mean...
That's maybe a few years off, but yeah.
Probably not. Probably not 2017. I'd put more money on Cavs and Warriors again, but then, oh, you never know. Well, never know about the Spurs. Maybe you might know a little bit more about the 76ers. But Ben, it's definitely sort of an interesting start to the season. Hopefully another great year of basketball.
I'm hoping so. One thing I just really hope that the All-Star game might be a three-point shootout again, but yeah. I doubt that. But yeah.
That's one thing again that's... I know it's always been an exhibition and a bit flashy, and which I've always enjoyed, but the last couple of years it's just been that impromptu three-point shootout. I didn't even really bother to watch last year's game. When I saw the three-point shooting, I'm like, nah, it's going to be this crap again. I miss when they played a little bit more defense in that game, when it was a bit more competitive from the start.
Yep.
No, by all means, bring in a bit of the playground basketball, because it is the exhibition of the best in the game, all in the one game together. But yeah, I found out I don't really like three-point shooting, I guess. Or at least not to that extent. So I guess that's brought us to the end of episode number 182 of the NLSC podcast. We thank you as always for tuning in. And if you did enjoy the show, You can subscribe to us on iTunes to get us hot off the press every week, or you can keep streaming it on the NLSC, of course, and you can also listen to us on the go through the Stitcher app. Just download it for Android and iOS devices, search NLSC Podcast, and there we are. As always, we invite you to connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, at the NLSC, on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC, the NLSC everywhere, basically, and the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for all your basketball gaming needs. So that will do it for this week. I'm Andrew.
I'm Benny.
And I'm Bad Religion AU.
Oh, he screwed you over there, Arcane.
Damn it.
So for A-Train, Alden, and B.
B!
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
And I might see you next week as well.